You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruria. California's House races are critical in this midterm election. Some are highly competitive, some are not, and that's the focus of the latest episode of CAP Radio's podcast, Keys to the House. Ben Adler hosted the episode. He talked with Paul Mitchell, vice president of a firm that analyzes and sells voter data to campaigns. The firm is Political Data, Inc. Also joining the conversation by phone was NPR's lead political editor, Domenico Montanaro. Ben asked how many California districts are truly on the table right now, and you're going to hear Domenico answer first.
Well, at this point, like you said, there's about half a dozen. If you look at the Cook Political Report, which kind of handicaps some of these races, you've got about five or six. You've got six that are either in the Republican toss-up column or already leaning Democratic. The one seat that they have leaning Democratic already is the former Darrell Issa seat that is California's 49th congressional district that is open right now, meaning there isn't a congressman running for re-election there. So you have some of these open seats are kind of the ones that a lot of the parties think are easiest to pick off. But California really does have the biggest tranche of seats that Democrats are aiming to get. And remember, Democrats need to net 23 seats overall in order to take back the House.
Well, I definitely think, and I agree with Domenico, that you've got the Congressional District 49, which is the former Issa seat, where when you look at the primary numbers, Democratic votes in total exceeded the number of Republican votes. And that was something that was really shocking for a seat that has been essentially a safe Republican seat for years. And for context, California's members of Congress have shrunk. The Republican members of Congress have shrunk from 20 members of the 53 being Republican as recently as 2006, 19 being Republican as recently as 2012. And so now we're down to 14 Republican members of Congress. And nationally, they're looking at half of them. And some are looking even more than half of those seats.
Okay, so let's start going through some of these races, beginning with the contest that each of you just mentioned. That's the seat in northern San Diego and southern Orange County, currently held by Republican Congressman Darrell Issa, who is retiring. Trying to replace him are Diane Harkey, the Republican member of the California Board of Equalization, that's the state's tax board, and Democrat Mike Levin, who emerged from a very crowded Democratic primary field. Now, according to the California Target Book, which is tracking outside spending from independent groups, outside Republican groups have spent no money on this race. Democrats are only spending a few hundred thousand. So it seems like even Republicans are kind of giving up on this seat.
That's kind of fascinating. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, this is a seat that leans slightly toward Republicans. You know, it's a pretty even seat as far as the number of registered Republicans and registered Democrats in it. But as far as the partisan lean, you know, this is a seat where Republicans should do okay. And the fact that it's already tipping in Democrats' direction is a real potential sign of a wave this year. You know, whether or not Democrats get there is going to be fascinating. But it all comes down, frankly, to President Trump. I mean, this election has been so nationalized, as has been the trend over so many, you know, of these last few cycles. I mean, dating back, I would say, to the 2010 Tea Party wave, where you had 40-something Tea Party freshmen come in and really reshape the Republican conference. And you've got a kind of the opposite mirror image of that this time around, where you have so many liberals more fired up to want to go vote this time around. Of course, the demographics don't always favor Democrats in these midterms, but we really do have what's shaping up to be an enormous base election where both sides are trying to turn out their strongest supporters.
The next group of districts I'm kind of calling the SoCal toss-ups, and there's three suburban seats, a couple of them in Orange County and one in northern Los Angeles County, all in roughly the same situation. They're all rated as toss-ups by the Cook Political Report. We're talking about the ones held by Steve Knight in the Santa Clarita area, Mimi Walters in southern Orange County, and Dana Rohrabacher in northern Orange County. The outside groups, generally speaking, Republicans are outspending Democrats. In the two Orange County seats, that's certainly the case. In the L.A. seat, the Dems are slightly outspending Republicans. And polls that we've seen are showing tight races all around. these are ones that I think, Domenico, you would probably say that Democrats need to fare very well in if they're going to hit 23 nationally.
Yeah, and I mean, that's exactly why you see Republicans spending as much money as they are in these districts, because they know that they have to hold these kinds of seats. And they're, by the way, very expensive. If you're going to have to, you know, take out ads in the Los Angeles media market, you know, only New York costs more money. So these are very expensive seats to have to advertise in. Republicans know that they have to hold on to a lot of these seats. And someone like Mimi Walters, for example, you know, she's somebody who has come to Capitol Hill, really has her eyes on leadership positions. She's, you know, one of the few women that are in the Republican conference, and somebody who Republicans really do want to protect and have, you know, as part of the team going forward. But again, if you do see a wave, then if you're going to see Democrats pick up those 23 seats, Democrats think they've got to get, if not all these seats, most of them.
And Paul, Democrats are not going to get to 23 just winning seats like Daryl Issa's district. They're going to absolutely need these toss-ups, at least a majority of them, to break in their favor. How feasible do you think it actually is? Because these are members of Congress who have survived the 2016 election and the 2014 election and many others.
Yeah, I think that this is definitely a challenge to get, you know, let's say two of these three, I think, would be a challenge for Democrats. Definitely they have the money and the organizing, and they've really invested in these candidates to try to do it. One of the things, especially looking at the two Orange County districts, where I see a real interesting matchup is you have Katie Porter, who is very progressive, running against Mimi Walters, who is a strong Trump supporter, and she is a strong conservative. But then in the Dana Rohrabacher seat, you have Harley Ruta, who is much more moderate. He's more running from the center, and he's running against a candidate who's not only pro-Trump, but in of himself, very extremely polarizing. And in addition to being a polarizing candidate, he actually faced a primary challenge. And we've seen this in other elections nationally, that when an incumbent faces a primary challenge, sometimes that really disrupts their ability to coalesce their base behind them going into the general election.
Frankly, Republicans nationally think that someone like Rohrabacher, if they had a different candidate, that they might actually do much better in this district, because Rohrabacher is somebody who's gotten a lot of attention because of ties to Russia. I mean, Kevin McCarthy, for example, you know, the number two in the House, said that there are only a couple people who he thinks might be on the payroll of Russia. He said President Trump and Rohrabacher are among them. Of course, later he said he was joking.
To that point, if you put Kevin McCarthy in this district, I don't think Democrats would have as much of a chance. Uh-huh. So Dana Rohrabacher is the type of candidate that I think has given himself a greater challenge than, you know, just an average kind of generic Republican. So when we talk about the idea of a generic Republican ballot, I think Dana Rohrabacher would probably underperform that, whereas Mimi Walters might overperform that.
Next, I want to go to what I'm calling the lone Central Valley battleground. Some Democrats would not agree with that statement, but I'm curious to see what each of you gentlemen think. I'm talking about the 10th Congressional District in the Modesto area. Incumbent Jeff Denham against Josh Harder, the Democrat who emerged from a crowded primary. This one is largely rural, and so you've got different dynamics in play that might be more similar to some of the seats in middle America states that are up for grabs.
Again, another seat that Hillary Clinton won in 2016, which of course gives Democrats some hope. And it's an even district as far as how many Democrats and Republicans are in it.
The interesting thing about Denham's district to me is how poorly he performed in the primary. It was a situation where the total of his Republican votes versus the total of votes for the Democratic candidates, he actually had a higher number, but only by a small margin. And part of the concern, I think, for Republicans in this district is that Denham, by kind of tacking a little bit more to the center, being pro-DACA, being sympathetic to, you know, immigration concerns within his district, might have alienated some of the more conservative pro-Trump voters in his own district. Now, the interesting thing is, going to the general election, a traditional strategy would be exactly that. Traditional strategy would be to try to, you know, moderate. And it's potentially the fact that Denham's weakness in the primary is exactly the recipe for him to be more successful in the general.
That's fascinating because, you know, I think so much of the problem for a lot of moderates in this election cycle is that you have so many people voters who are unwilling to take half a loaf. They don't want to hear about compromise. And this is something that we've seen on the Republican side for quite some time, and now starting to become something with progressives who are kind of tired of the traditional establishment Democrats. And you're seeing much more polarized elections, and moderates, either Dems or Republicans, like Denham as a Republican, having a more difficult time keeping an alliance together.
The national numbers right now, as we tape this on Tuesday morning Pacific time, the president's job approval rating is 43%, Real Clear Politics average, 53% disapprove. And the generic ballot test is 49% Democrat, 41% Republican. To what extent will those numbers help shape the California congressional races?
Well, I mean, if we think all these races have been nationalized, then in a big way, obviously. I mean, and not to mention California was a state that went overwhelmingly, obviously, for Hillary Clinton and for Democrats. And you have a huge part of the resistance there. And, you know, presidents historically don't do well in their first midterm. And especially when they're under 50%, it's even worse. And the reason for that is because the out party has all the energy and has all the enthusiasm. And President Trump has alluded to that before. And with so many of these House districts that are so key to whether or not Democrats take back the House, you can bet that a lot of this is going to matter in California.
Yeah, and one of the things historically looking at California elections, there has been this idea that the national waves kind of stop at the Nevada border. We saw in 2006, Democrats made huge gains. That was actually the last year that Republicans won statewide offices, and Republicans actually gained a seat in the state legislature in that Democratic national wave year. In 2010, which was a Republican wave year, where we saw hundreds of Republicans win Democratic-held seats, in California, we were the only state that actually had a pickup, where we had a Democratic member of the legislature now win a previously Republican-held seat. So when we see these national numbers, I think California has to be viewed in its own as kind of its own political ecosystem. And we do have these districts in play, but it's not necessarily going to be tied just in the same linear kind of direct fashion to what's happening in the other 49 states.
That was part of the latest episode of Cap Radio's podcast, Keys to the House. You heard Ben Adler talking with Paul Mitchell of Political Data, Inc., and NPR's political editor, Domenico Montanaro. You can find the podcast at capradio.org or wherever you get your podcasts. This is Insight on Cap Radio.